Good morning, everybody. How many of you are enjoying the grayness outside? It might not be cold yet, but I'll be happy with the gray. I do enjoy that much so far. I am believing that it will cool down and it will, the stickiness, I'm praying for that one to go away because that one's just, ugh. Well, I'm excited to be up here this morning. I hope you all are too. And like Matt said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not destroy me. So we're going to change that little phrase because as kids we are told, right, sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt me. And that is just a crock full of just garbage. how many of us have been hurt by words? You know, yeah. The tiniest of words, and they pierce, and it's just like, ugh, and you can't, babe, can you stand up here for a second real quick? If, you know, we have the first part that says sticks and stones, right? Now, if I take this orange, and they're fake, otherwise right now they'd be just looking pretty nasty. but it's heavy, it's not styrofoam. It's got, you know, some density to it. And now it says, sticks and stones may break my bones, right? If I were to just chuck this... I'm just kidding, I'm not going to throw it at you. If I were to chuck it at Matt, it would, you know, maybe bruise. He's light-skinned. He'll bruise easy. it won't necessarily break his bones. Maybe if I were to throw a dish at his head, that's another story, might, you know, cause a little bit more damage. But he'll survive. He'll live. And eventually, over time, I'm sure he would forgive me and get over it, and we'd move on with our happy lives. which dishes have never been thrown in our household, just want to let you all know. By the adults. That is true. Ask Oliver. That's a whole other thing right there. But words, there is so much power in our words. And we all have been the recipients of those words, and we know how much they can hurt. And you never forget them. I'm the kind of person who I can remember, and I will remember the spot that I'm standing in, the way that I felt at that moment that somebody may have said something hurtful. And I'll remember that, and I'll hold on to it for a long time. And it's obviously not healthy. But it happens to us, and I'm sure we can all relate to that. And we allow those words to hurt us. We let it happen when we hold on to that, when we won't let it go. We receive them, and we allow them to eventually destroy us. And so today we'll be talking about our emotions and how we let that affect the words that we receive into our lives, which is very... I'm sure it's cliche, right? Talking about emotions. You got a woman up here telling you about emotions. thank you. That's my sister. She gets me. so let's turn to John, the book of John, chapter 15. We are starting off in verse 9. It says, as the Father, I'll read it up there if we can get it up. I want to make sure the translations are the same. Yeah. Okay, I'll go ahead and just start. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So point number one, receive it. Oh, and if we can get someone to pass out the hearts back there real quick, and I'll explain those in a minute. Point number one, receive it. And I encourage you, please take notes. Write something down. When you write it down, I'm the kind of learner, I don't know what kind of learners you all are, but I'm the kind of learner who, it's like I'm very sensory, so I need to use all my senses to learn, to remember things. So I need to hear it, I need to write it down, I need to see it, and it'll stay. So we'll try to cover all our bases. So if, with the hearts that are being passed out, I want you to write the 3 points today, and I'll remind you what they are. But the first one, when you receive your heart, make sure you write down, receive it. So with this verse, we can deduct that Jesus and joy are intertwined. The word says, let's see. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. So Jesus does, he practices what he preaches. He tells us, abide in my love just the way that I abide in my Father's love. And when we do this, thank you. And when we do this, it says, my joy may remain in you. So when we do, when you do verse number 10, when you abide in the Lord's love, then you receive verse 11. You will have his joy, the Lord's joy will remain in you. And he doesn't leave it at that. He says, my joy will remain in you and that your joy may be full. It will be kept at max capacity. You stay in the Father's love, your joy will remain at max capacity. And it's a promise. And so with this, we can also look at the fact that it's proof that emotions are from the Lord. The Lord has designed us like that, to feel, to have emotions, to experience them. And so I'm going to go into that right now and explain a little something about emotions. So I need everyone to hold up two hands. Make them into fists and put them together. That's roughly about the size of your brain, give or take. Now, if you have small hands, then I'm sure you have a nice face to look at. I'm just kidding. no, so that's roughly about the size of your brain. Obviously, when you grow, your brain grows and everything. Okay, now hold up one hand and stick your thumb in, and then you close, make a fist. So now we're going to pretend this is your brain, and your thumb inside, that is a little piece called the amygdala. So here's a little bit. See, this is what you can put your hands down. This is what happens when your pastors are a geek and a nerd. You get biology lessons about your body and the brain today, and then you get information about video games and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I know a handful of you enjoy that. The rest of us kind of sit there like, oh, okay, pastor. No idea what's going on. okay, so you got your amygdala. And it's the part of your brain that's responsible. It's the pleasure center of the brain. It is responsible for our fight, flight, or freeze response. When you get scared, what do? Are you the kind of person who like screams and freezes? We love scaring my mom at home. It's just so hilarious. Like, it's Matt's favorite thing to do. Because she's the kind of person who she just freezes, she just screams. Like, sometimes I think she even knows it's coming and she still does it anyway. Do you fight? Do you fight back? Or do you run? I will give you this warning now that it's Halloween time, especially to the youth in here. If you try to scare Matt, make sure you protect yourself. Dude, I'm not saying don't scare him. If you want to prank him, go ahead. Go. Feel free. Be my guest. But protect yourself. This is fair warning. When we were first dating, he loves to scare people, and he loves to tease them. And so I thought, I'm going to get this guy back. And so I went to startle him, and his immediate response was this. And I was like, oh my gosh, not gonna do that again. You know, so then over some time, I thought, well, then I'll try to go for his legs. You know, he can't punch me if he's standing and I'm down by the ground. His next response, you can only imagine, was this, because he's ready to just to kick whatever was coming at him. He has, friends have scared him, and he has literally kicked them in the chest while they're standing because of how he fights when he gets scared. It's a true story. I'm not kidding. Yes. Poor guy. And so we've got that. His amygdala is responsible for that. So don't blame him. It's his amygdala. And so that's how we have these reactions. And then the Lord designed us that way. They're instinctual. It's out of protection. That's how we will survive in life. When there's a threat, we have a kind of reaction. And our emotions are part of that. They're given to us by the Lord to help us provide a quick reaction to some kind of situation, whether it's a threat or something pleasurable. They're coded in our genes. And they are happiness and anger and sadness and joy and disgust. And you can watch Inside Out and learn all about all our emotions. And so that's our amygdala is responsible for that. But it's also responsible for memory consolidation. It's also responsible for keeping those emotions alive 15, 20 years later. And that's why those emotional memories are the strongest ones we have. Because those are the ones that, like I said, 20 years later, you can remember something that happened, and it's almost like you're there again. And you feel those emotions just as strong as if it had happened that day. And that's, again, your amygdala, so blame that. And so our emotions, so there's a difference between emotions and feelings. Our emotions are what precede our feelings. So we have, you know, a threat happens, the emotion that you feel is fear, and the feeling afterwards is terror. It's what physically is happening to your body. I read a quote by a neuroscientist, Dr. Sarah Kay, I think her name is. She says, emotions are the theater of the body, and our feelings are the theater of the mind. Because our emotions are something physical. It's that physical response. But our feelings, that's what we feel inside. That's what almost kind of, it makes your emotions that much more real. Our feelings are the mental associations that we give to our emotions. And they're subjective for each one of us because they have to do with our personal beliefs, our experiences, and our memories. And they mentally portray what's going on physically. So after hearing all of that about our emotions and our feelings and the somewhat of biology behind it, and now you've learned a new fun word, amygdala, you might be asking, well, then how in the world am I supposed to control that? They're instinctual. How am I supposed to keep that under control? And I'm so glad you all asked. So if we turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find it and healing to their whole body. So guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So let me focus on verse 23 right there. Guard your heart above what?
All else.
Let's read that again. Guard your heart above what?
All else.
All else. It means everything. Above everything on this earth, guard your heart. It's plain and simple. The Lord gives it to us right there. And if he's saying it with such, if he's saying above everything else, everything and anything, guard your heart, do this. You would think that there's a reason for that. It's important. The Hebrew word for heart is leb, L-E-B. So I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. Leb, leb, I'm not too sure. But it means the inner man. The mind, the will, your heart, your understanding. It's the seat of your emotions. Isn't that such great imagery? Your heart is the seat of your emotions and your passions. It's the seat of courage. It's so much more than just a symbol. It's so much more than just what pumps blood through your body, which is huge and very important and very intrinsic and complex and wonderful, but that's, you guys know I like the human body, how it works. But it's the seat, I love this part, the seat of your emotions and your passions. And so it's no wonder the Lord tells us, guard it, take care of it, protect it above everything else. And we sometimes get this verse backwards. We guard everything else above our hearts. We guard our kids. We guard our cell phones. We have some people, I was looking for a case for my cell phone because I have children, and like we've told you, Oliver likes to throw things. We are believing for a nice future in baseball for him or some kind of sport so he can pay for college. And I was looking for cell phone cases. They're so expensive. And you got all these kind of like titanium, whatever, you know, to cover your cell phone. Which I get it, like we, you know, you spend money on them, you wanna make sure it's okay. I found my case at Target for $3, just so you know. They're in like the dollar bin section, and it's great. It has withstood Oliver for $3. And so we protect things like that. We protect our diets. We remove sugar from our diets to not add poundage. We remove different, you know, different things. We remove meat. Some people like to go vegan and vegetarian. We remove gluten. We go gluten-free. You know, for some people, you actually need it, and that's, you know, totally fine. For some people, it's just a fad, and they think they're cool and hip and whatever. But we remove all these things, and we protect everything else in our lives. We protect our skin. We use SPF. Matt has to find like SPF 100 or something. And so does poor London, my white people family. And, you know, Ollie and I, we were okay. And we protect our skin. But what about your soul? What kind of SPF are you using on your soul? When you walk out every morning out of your house, and sometimes even within your house, you know, you go to the beach and you lather on that SPF. Got to keep your skin healthy. Got to keep your body healthy. But what did you put on? What kind of SPF did you put on your heart? What are you putting on it to protect it? We have, I mean, I don't know how many pages your Bible has, but I can say I've got SPF, like, what is it? I'm trying to get to the very last page. Oh, it's almost at 1,863 right here. For my soul, for my heart. Use it. It's right there. This is what you need to protect your heart. Get the word to cover it. Get the word to cover your soul. It's so important. Above all else, do that. I heard a pastor talk about how, you know, the verse that talks about, you know, meditate on my word day and night. And it's not just a matter of, okay, in the morning, I got my life journal, I got my list, I can check mark off, you know, that I read today. No, it's like with losing weight. You know, they say it's better to have multiple small meals throughout the day, and you'll actually be healthier than if you do your, like, giant breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's actually healthier for your body, for your metabolism, to break down everything throughout the day. Smaller meals. And it's like that with your word. You don't have to sit for 5 hours in the morning and get a whole big chunk in and be like, okay, I'm full for the day, I'm set. It's multiple meals. Snack on the word throughout the day. Protect your heart. You need it constantly throughout the day. Whether it's through worship, whether it's a verse that you keep in your pocket and you, or on your phone, on your home screen, and look at it. Snack on the word throughout your day. Protect your heart. Above all else, guard it. And that's point number two. So on your paper hearts here, there's pens in front of you if you don't have any in the jars. I want you to write, we'll go back to verse point number one, which is receive it. And then next, point number two is guard it. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. So now we move on to verse 23, I think should be the next, I mean 24. It should be the next slide. Now, I don't think it's coincidental that the Lord says, guard your heart above all things, and then the next verse says, avoid all perverse talk and stay away from corrupt speech. Because like I said before, our words have so much power. Yep. They are filled with power like you don't even know. And the power that we need to be using it is to quote this. When you speak this over your life, over the people around you, over your kids, over your spouse, over your coworkers, over your bosses, over the person who just cut you off in front of you in the freeway. When you speak life, there is so much power. But when you speak death, the Lord has given us this power. And we have it to use for good or evil. So which one are you going to do? The word says to avoid all perverse talk. Now, the Lord makes things very clear. He's not complicated. He's not high maintenance. He's very clear. Above all, guard your heart. Above everything. There's no exceptions. There's no gray areas. Avoid all perverse talk. Just stay away from it. It's not going to be healthy to you or to those around you. And if we go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Just read it there. It says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. unless it's cupcakes and cake and all that yummy, delicious stuff that will defile your body, I promise you. It's so yummy, but it will defile you. you are defiled by the words that come out. Yeah. Oh my gosh, church, please listen. Please. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth, not by what goes in. The Lord just has it so clear. You protect your heart by covering it, put SPF on it. Because that's what comes in isn't going to defile you. Don't let it. We don't have to let it. It's what comes out. So what are you speaking? What words? Are you bringing life to yourself? What kind of things are you saying about yourself? I can tell you right now that I am the number one person to judge myself. I'm such a perfectionist. And I don't know if it comes from being firstborn, I'm just kind of wired that way to be a perfectionist. And so when I speak to myself, the things that I say aren't always nice. And that's I'm destroying myself. I'm crippling myself because of that. What are you speaking to other people? What are the words that other people are receiving from you? It may not defile them because they can choose to not receive it. They have protected themselves. But it's defiling you. Your words are what can destroy you. If we go back to verse 20, I don't know if you can go back like two slides. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words, not your own, not to what other people are saying about you. Pay attention to what the Lord is saying. What is he saying? He is saying, I love you. You are worthy. You are my heirs. You are princes and princesses in my kingdom. Fill your heart with those words. Pay attention to those words that the Lord is saying. We are constantly under attack, constantly. And so how are you protecting yourself? How are you protecting from the things that other people are trying to give you or that you're trying to give yourself? If it does not line up with the word of God, then don't receive it. If somebody says something to you and it does not line up to what God thinks about you, then don't receive it. It will hurt. It will sting. But it's up to you if you're going to let it go or if you're going to hold on to that and let it destroy you and cripple you and break you down bit by bit. It says words affect our emotions and our feelings. When you hear something being said about you or to you or about your kids, I am Mama Bear. I turn into Mama Bear. And I have to back up and say, okay, Lord, this is what you say about my children. And I will speak that over them so that the words that they are receiving from all these people or people who are judging them or me as a mom, it's going to bounce right off. Because this is who you say they are. Trust me, all the other mamas know that that one's hard because you just want to lash back and just be like, mm-mm. My children, who are you to talk about my kids? Look at your little munchkins, you know? And it's hard. But guard your heart. And in guarding your heart, mamas, you're teaching your children how to guard their hearts. You're teaching them that words have no power. Only the Lord's words have power over their hearts, and it's powerful. If we can show the video clip. Quick for a minute.
Okay, dear. You broke my heart. You see it?
No.
Look.
Oh, that is it. He's the cutest little thing ever. My favorite part, my absolute favorite part. So he's arguing that it's sprinkling because his mom said it's sprinkling outside. And the little girl's time, she's like, no, it's raining. My mom says it's raining. And there's that one part where he switches when he goes, because it's raining. And the little girl, right? Women, how many times do we have? Yes, I told you, it's raining. You just admitted it yourself. I was right. I think that's my favorite part. But we see, right? They're having this heated debate. These 3-4-year-olds are having this heated debate whether it's sprinkling or raining. And you can see they start getting agitated. Like the little girl starts poking him, you know? And he gets so, like, he is standing strong on what he believes. He's not giving in. And he even tells you, he's like, you're pretty. It's like, but I still think it's raining. So sweet. Like, I hope his parents argue like that. Honey, you're beautiful, but I'm right. Like, we should, can we start arguing like that, please? You're so beautiful. Makes me angry. But they get into this heated debate and the emotions start to flare up and you see it. And it leads to the poking and he goes, you poked my heart. And you see it in his face, like it's not, she didn't punch him or anything, but it hurt. It hurt so much that she did that she poked his heart. And I love what the second little girl does. She goes, turn around and I'll stand here so she can't do that. And she stands in and she protects. And throughout their little debate, you know, she has her little say too of, no, it's raining. But if you notice when when the first little girl first pokes the little boy's eye in the very beginning, she turns, I'm assuming they're twins. They look like twins to me, right? She turns to her sister. Above all things, I defend my sister. I was like, I don't know if you may be wrong, but I'll be like, she's my sister. Like, I can't, you know, side with anyone else. But she turns to her sister and she says, stop. She goes, stop that. Say sorry. And so she's there to stand in and protect. So can we please be that little girl? Can we stand in and protect and speak life and say, it's okay. Turn around, I'll stand here so she won't hurt you anymore. You know, be that person. Speak the life. Stand in and protect. If you see that somebody else is just crumbling around you, step in and say, let me pray for you. Here are the words. Here is life. You know, snack on this for this moment. You know, maybe that'll make you feel better. So above all things, church, above all things, guard your heart. Protect it. Put that SPF on. It'll last you forever. There's no need to reapply. It's here, always there for your taking. Now we go to point number 3. The last one I want you to write on your heart is own it. You gotta own it. And this is what I mean. And this might not be the funnest part of today. We have all said, he or she put me in a bad mood. He got me mad. Own it. You need to own your emotions. Now, this one's a rough one because we so easily blame other people for what we're feeling, for the uncomfortable feelings, for the anger, for the frustration, for the pain and the hurt that they have just caused us. It's like, you got me mad. We got to own our own emotions. When we say that, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Because when you say, he got me mad, she got me mad, he put me in a bad mood, you are giving power to somebody else over your emotions. And when you give somebody else the power, you don't have it anymore. And you have lost control of that power over your own emotions. And you end up getting stuck. And there's nothing you can do. And it takes so much more. It's twice as hard to get out of that. Because you have given the power away. You've said, now somebody else can control my emotions. You have to take ownership of your own it. Try to put, you protect your own heart. So try to put a fence around your neighbor's house to protect his house and see what he has to say about that. Try. They'll think you're strange and then they'll probably be bothered because you're on their property putting up a fence that they didn't want there in the first place, right? It works the same way. Do not give somebody else the power over your emotions. You protect it. It's yours. Take ownership of it. Because when you have ownership of it, You can change it. You have the control. Because you can't guard what you don't own. You cannot guard what you do not own. If you have given it to somebody else, that's it. You've lost the control. You've lost the power. Own it. There's a quote by a pastor that I heard that he said. He said, your joy is your job. It's not up to anybody else to make you happy. I cannot rely on my husband to bring me joy. He makes me laugh, and he does cause joy in my life, and I absolutely love it. It's one of the things that attracted me to him in the first place. I saw how he could just turn any situation and make it so lighthearted, which now that we're married, sometimes it frustrates me because I'm like, we're having this discussion. You can't be funny. It's not funny. And so, you know, we have people who bring us joy, but they're not responsible for it. You chose to laugh at that person's joke, right? You didn't have to. You have the power. You have that power to receive that joy. But it's your responsibility. Your joy is your responsibility. Whether you want to be happy or not, that's up to you. You want to be grumpy all day? That's up to you. You won't be liked very much, but hey, that's what you decided. Your heart is your responsibility. You have the responsibility to deal with the bitterness that others try to place there. And by deal, this is what I mean. I mean, it's the way you react. If somebody else is trying to put that bitterness into your heart, how are you reacting? Do you lash out? When you lash out and you get frustrated and you do get bitter and angry, then again, you've given them the power. You've given them the control, and you cannot now guard your heart because you lost the power. You can't, you've given it away. So the better way to deal then is, like I said before, is you speak the word over your life. It's like, I don't receive that because that doesn't line up with the word. This is what God says about me. And then you counteract that way. That is how you fight back. That is, if ask your kids what they learned in Sunday school. Ask them. Last week they learned about how the word is the weapon that we need to use when Satan tries to trick us. We talked about when Jesus was tempted after he was fasting. And the kids learned that the word is the defense they need to use. That is the weapon that they can use against the enemy's tricks. Use that. And I say ask your kids because they're learning this stuff, and it's great. If they're not your own kids, ask them anyway. Ask, you know, I give you permission to ask London what she learned in Sunday school. It helps them to cement it in their brains to learn, to remember, and you never know, they teach us things too. They're little nuggets, those little snacks that remind us throughout the day. Fight back with the word. And I'm not saying fight back and tell them, like, well, the Bible. No, you feed yourself. You take care of yourself. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Saved. It's an old movie with Mandy Moore. And she, there's a part where she's supposed to be this, like, crazy, like, fanatic Christian. Like, just, it's not good. But there's one part, I forget what, what's the line that she says? And she chucks a Bible at somebody in the head. Is that what she says? Yeah. Something about being saved, like you need to be saved in the name of Jesus. And she checks the Bible. Okay. Right? That's not the kind of fighting back we need to do, just to let you know. So random. Turn to Psalms 42, verse 11. Here we have an example of a man after God's own heart who is guarding his heart, who is protecting it. And this is an example of what it looks like. So David says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And if I read, let me read you my translation real quick. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? He's asking himself. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. So he recognizes, I am downcast. I am sad. I am discouraged. I am not in a good place. But he asks himself, he's like, why? Why am I like that? And then the next line, he tells himself, hope in God. Heart, hope in God. Soul, hope in God. It says, for I shall yet praise him. So not only does he tell himself, he recognizes, okay, this is how I'm feeling. And this is what I need to do. I need to hope in the Lord. And then the next thing he says, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I will praise him again and again and again and again and again. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what my circumstances, because the Lord doesn't care about your circumstance necessarily. He cares. But that's not what's important to him. What's more important to him, is how you react. Where is your heart? What are you saying? What are you speaking over your own life? What are you speaking about others? Praise him. Spend time worshiping the Lord. You don't need a worship team. You don't need a band. You don't even need music on to be able to worship the Lord wherever you're at. Because when you allow your circumstances to, when you give power to your circumstance, oh my goodness, your emotions will be out of control. They'll be out of whack. You've given a circumstance, not even another person, a circumstance that power over your emotions. And the way your heart feels, the way that the circumstance or the person or whatever it may be makes your heart feel, and your heart is focused on that, the word tells us, so is a man is in his heart. Wait. Sorry, I'm like all confused now. I'm like blanking out on the verse. Never mind. But what is in your heart, that's what your mind is concentrating on. And then that's when we get filled with worry and doubt and fear and anger and bitterness. And so why even go down there? So many of us get so bogged down by worry. By worry in our lives over petty things sometimes. And it happens at any moment. We're up here worshiping, and I know that my brother is on a trip in Yosemite, and he's supposed to be driving back down today. And you know, I've been praying for him just for safety and protection with him, you know, him and his friends are out in the middle of the mountains, gorgeous mountains, and nature. And he doesn't have cell phone service where he's at. You know, so we haven't been able to just, you know, big sister worries, calls up and checks on her little brother. And then I just started worrying, oh my goodness, like what if something has happened? What if, you know, and all these things, and I'm up here trying to worship. And it's in those moments where I'm like, Lord, like I need to, preaching on that today, I got to guard my heart, I got to guard my mind. I can't let worry be what is destroying my worship time with you. And it happens at any moment, and we have to be so quick to say, nope, get that SPF on. This is not time to give worry the power. You can't, and you have to stop yourself and say, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to let the Lord take control. And so to finish up, if I can get somebody on the worship team just to kind of play some music a little bit here. How many of you like orchids? They're beautiful. I heard somebody say once that they're symmetrical, and so it just makes you want to look at them. It's pleasing to the eyes, just like, you know, the Lord made us symmetrical. You know, two eyes, two nostrils, you know, lips that are symmetrical. It's pleasing to look at. And they're beautiful. They're amazing flowers. They're so beautiful. But they're complicated. I don't know if you've ever researched how to take care of an orchid. They say the best way to water them, because they don't require too much water, is first of all, not to just give them tap water. You have to buy the finest, purest water. And you don't just, you know, like pour it in with your cute little watering can. They say it's better to take a spray bottle and spray it. You know, you just kind of mist it and, you know, be nice and gentle. And it says, and if you get too much water on the leaves, you can take a cotton swab and just wipe them down. And when you place them in your home, you place them in a spot where they get a nice breeze to hit them. Not too much. You can't have them too close to AC vents or heater vents. And if you have them by an open window, you need to rotate them every once in a while so that the same spot isn't getting that breeze all the time. And then you rotate them. And if you can't do that, then they suggest you get an oscillating fan. You know? Orchids are beautiful. They're beautiful. And they come in so many colors, and it's amazing. And God is just so, like, his creativity comes out and stuff like that. But they're complicated. they're complicated plans. They're not easy. And then you have, well, let me ask you, are you that complicated person? Are you the one that when your caller ID, when your name comes up on somebody else's phone, what is their reaction to your name? Are they the kind of person like, yes, I would love to talk to them right now. They bring me so much life, so much joy. Like, I just, it's never a dull moment. Are you that person? Or are you the person where people look at your name, they're like, oh, really don't want to talk to them right now. Ignore. Who are you? Which person are you? Now think of the oak tree. Think of an oak tree. It may not be the most beautiful of trees. It doesn't have spectacular leaves that sparkle and shimmer, or flowers even. But they are strong. And they stand tall and strong, and they withstand all kind of weather. And it brings me back to verse what I preached on last time, Jeremiah 17:7. If we can get that on the screen. Did I put it in there? No? Okay, that's fine. But we talked about this the last time when I preached, we talked about being planted by the waters. And your roots always being close to that water source. And a tree planted there, leaves never fade. They will always be green, and they always bear fruit. So now think of that. Think of the oak tree. It withstands all kinds of weather. And it will stand there, and it will continue to have its, you know, the leaves will continue to change, and it still flourishes. And I don't know if you knew this, but as wide as the oak tree's branches are, its roots are either that wide or 2 to 3 times wider. Be that oak tree. Be strong. Be planted by the water, by the source of everlasting life. And if you feel like it's starting to dry up, what do roots do when there's no more water near them? They go, well, yeah, some, yeah, depending on the trees, they do come up, but they go deeper and or they spread further to find that water. They don't wait along for somebody to come by with a spray bottle to squirt them with a cotton swab to wipe down its leaves. It doesn't wait for an oscillating fan for somebody to plug one up and take it out there for it. It's responsible for itself. It says, I can't find it here. I'm going to go in deeper. I'm going to go in further until I find it. Because I'm going to stand here and I'm going to flourish and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to always bear fruit because of that. Receive it, family, church family. Receive it. Receive the Lord's love. Because when you receive it, you will be full of joy. He promises. And guard your heart. Above all things, guard your heart. Like, I can't stress that enough. And in that process, own your emotions. Don't give somebody else the power. We hear it said so many times, you know, you got to own your emotions, be responsible. And it is said with a... It's a completely different meaning. When I'm telling you own it, it's because you have the power so that you can maintain that power to guard your heart. Don't give it away to other people or to other circumstances. Choose that for your lives today. And I love what Katie shared this morning. Thank you. Thank you. I know that some of you have gone through hard times, and specifically with the subject of suicide, and that it hurts, and that's not an easy one to protect yourself from, because so many things are left unanswered. There's so many what ifs that we fill ourselves with, and I want you guys to know, be that oak tree. Be that oak tree. Be the one that's standing strong, that's ready to bear fruit. Be that in the people's lives around you, because I can tell you guys right now that when you're at school, the people who know this young lady, they may be crumbling. And so I'm specifically telling you guys, because this has just happened, be that oak tree. Be the person who speaks life, because people around you need it. You guys are the light, and you guys have that power. You guys have it right here. you have your SPF and you're ready and set to go. That's just what the Lord has for you guys specifically right now at this time. But for everyone too, we've had those moments in our lives. And I challenge you all, be that oak tree. There's power in our words, church. There is so much power. Be the one who speaks life. Be the one who people want to be around because of the life you speak into their lives. I want everyone to just bow your heads. If you this morning have been, if you have used words over yourself, especially over yourself, that have not necessarily been words of life, but they have been words of criticism, and you beat yourself up a lot, the Lord wants you to know that he just wants you to stop it. Just plain and simple, just stop. Because he wants you to know that the words that he has over your life have so much more power and depth and meaning. And if you have allowed other people or circumstances to have the power over your emotions, just know that you don't need to do that anymore. You need to stand up strong, be confident in the Lord, and take that power back. You take it and you own it. I know you might be sitting there thinking it's so much easier said than done. And I know. I know because I have to do that every single day. I have to snack on the word to get that strength. And there are times where as a mom, it's frustrating. As a wife, it's hard. As a friend, it's draining. So I get it. And you just need to snack on that. And so I just want to pray over you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you because your word is life to our souls. Lord, would we be planted deep? Would we be out there searching for that water source, that everlasting life? Would we branch out and always bear fruit, Father? And would we rest in that joy, in your joy? Would we abide in your love, Lord, that our joy may be full at maximum capacity? And Father, I pray just especially for everyone this morning, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what they are going through, Lord, would their hearts not be poked? Lord, but would we be ready to just put up that shield, Lord, not to block people out, but just to protect our heart? Would we guard it, Lord, with diligence and without fear and without shame, without worry, Lord, without worrying what other people are going to think or say, Lord, because they don't have the power anymore, Lord. We proclaim that today. They have lost the power over our emotions, over our feelings, Father. We will not allow them to dictate our mood, to dictate our choices and our decisions, Lord, because words will not destroy us. They will not, Lord, and we declare that this morning. It's a declarative statement of saying, words will not destroy me. My words will not destroy me. They will be life to my soul, to my body. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We just pray a refreshing and a filling of your Holy Spirit, of your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.